the council for construction project management find it greater pool there than in all other councils. Maybe the regulation there is much easier, or rather, that's my thinking, or rather, there's a greater interest of candidates going into that profession as it provides more job opportunities rather than the other ones. Like, for instance, the one who the Honorable Registrar was speaking, the one that she's coming from, or the one that she represents, rather than anything and all. But again, the guidelines on page 9, the identification of work. Well, the first question would be to say the councils, they are zooming in to the institutions of higher learning, and their influence in the various departments and institutions to actually, as much as they go there to give accreditation in those institutions, but the student body that actually enrolls in these various courses, do we have an interaction with the students to rope them in and actually understand the role of registration in these councils? Why is it important for a student to register in the council? Because some might get lucky, they've not experienced this unemployment thing, so they just go into employment, but further down the line in their career, they want something more of a greater opportunity. Has the experience, has everything, but does not have the registration. Now, the process of registering as a candidate has to be reignited after 5 or more years after he has already qualified as a technician or whatever, an engineer. maybe to clear that in institutions. And then there's another issue that I wanted to raise that is on page 15. The entire process that is on steps on 7.1. Well, for me it would be the regulation of, because maybe we must also get at the committee the clarity of the regulation of the funding, the funds and the fees paid by your candidates, because some of the things that make your candidates fall off is that they cannot afford these prizes for the council. As we have said, that the stipends they get from their internship or their in-service training does not pay them enough for them to start now wanting to register, because I remember when I did my registration, it was about 3,000. So as if we are getting a stipend of 2,500, where are we going to get this all this money? And my main question or a suggestion would be that the council, the employer, must allocate a mentor. But in this mentor, do we have sufficient mentors for the various candidates, particularly we council for construction and project managers profession, to have sufficient mentors? Do we have a deliberate budget that speaks to capacitating our candidates, because we want to bridge the gap? Have we allocated enough resources to say, okay, we've got so much of candidates, excuse me, in this sector, and we want to rope them in, and actually have a clear program, follow-ups to ensure that they do not lose interest? Because what most of the time happens, you find these automated emails that come through almost every day, saying there's a workshop there, on ACRD or something, all these workshops in 1 week, and the student or the candidate must provide payment for those things. Do we have, like, are we subsidizing for students so that we actually capacitate them to actually reach their professional status? Because we can't have a system that literally blocks you out of obtaining your, because even if it's there, but if it's not friendly to us, particularly blacks, because we are also advancing the transformation agenda, but if the system itself is not responsive to the it will never happen. Hence, you'll find people being candidates forever and ever. this is to, okay, again, I think this would be the last comment I make right now, would be of the consulting firms for professionals. Say I start a consulting firm as a candidate or as a professional. Now, do we have a deliberate, this runs right across, attempt to say this is a grade one professional, that do we have measures in place to capacitate that person and actually grow that person? Because I recall that the president has spoken of a very few companies in architecture that are starting to die off now. So this will continue in all other six or five professional councils, and eventually we do not accomplish the transformation agenda in the built environment, because we can no longer have it monopolized by, you know, the small group of our society, so that we must have a deliberate way of dealing with this and ensuring that it runs right across all professionals that actually get into, all candidates actually do achieve their, their professional status. So this might be a common question to almost all of us. Maybe we can just feature ourselves accordingly as to how do I then feature myself into this one. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit worried. I think we've just touched the surface of the problem, but nonetheless, as time goes on, we'll be able to. My concern is, I hope that the legislation will be changed, the red tape that is there. And my wish is, whatever your objectives you set up for yourself in the transformation in DAP, I hope and I pray ukuthi it will be able to be met. Coming to the maths and science part and the programs that are there to speak to the maths and science, which is one of the requirements, even if the program is there, there's still going to be a gap. Because I was just asking my colleague, I used to teach math and science, and the math and science that's in the location is not the math and science that you get in private schools. And we are going to still have a problem. I forget that there's pure maths, there's maths literacy, there is this other mathematics, the libalayo. But it's still going to disadvantage our black kids to be able to follow in this industry. Which means that the Department of Education needs to look into their curriculum in order to accommodate our kids. Because honestly speaking, they came up with maths lit. I did maths pure, and I had to go for training for maths lit because they were introducing maths lit, which is not helping our kids in schools. It's not helping. And if Department of Education can't do anything about it to make sure that we equip our learners from a young age, if your foundation is solid, then you'll be able to get the correct learners in high school. But if our kids are struggling with numeracy, which is something you guys need to look into, if they struggle with numeracy at a lower level, they are going to struggle to do pure maths at a higher level, and it's going to be a problem. And I'm a bit worried about ESECLAP and the financial assistance that they always ask for and then they don't get. And e-landscape, it's more and more people. E-landscape is one of those rare, very rare. The first time I heard about landscape one was when I was watching a movie, and I'm like, honestly speaking, which is about 2 years back. So if I'm as old as I am, what about the younger generation? And I think not enough is done into landscaping. And I hope that CBE will be able to assist this club, and maybe for once just look into their program and sit down in detail. I wish I could have your program and see what's there and see what we can do about it, but we need to do something to give this club that the assistance that they need. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Also the Deputy Minister and the Presidents of different councils. I think the President of the, what was that?
SECAP.
I think the President of SECAP is actually putting an analysis DM. I think a deeper political analysis. And I enjoyed listening to him because he moved away in terms of the current affairs and all of that. What is really happening in the engineering field? The barriers which are there, the type of policies that have been adopted, neoliberal policies that actually are hindering black people. I don't want to even put African because it's always been written that African, black. We must say black because you've written white on that side. That is kicking black people out. He's correct to say that most of the black firms are gone. They've been closed out by, there's a systematic, amending of these laws. You know, they have now, you know, it was good to understand, and we think Obama put it very nice. It was a rotation system, and then something happened, and then at the end there was this PFMA, preferential, because even if you set aside that you wanted to do, you can't do it because it's blocked by the PFMA. Because PFMA. Yes, triple PFMA. Which is more market driven. So if you listen to that was actually a fundamental, I can say ideological, a structural problem that is there. And as you can see, most probably I think my colleague there, you see, he was saying it indirectly. He's an engineer. Yeah, I'm a chemical engineer by profession. That's where I'm going. I'm a chemical engineer, branched into project engineering, branched now into broader civil, electrical. I became a project engineer and a manager. Understand your this field, I understand. That's why I even said I'm going to come and attend here. And say, there's a big problem here. That's why you see us here. We say that if we cannot talk to you there, we'll come and talk to you politically here. We're all engineers. I didn't even, at Sasol, you don't need to be registered, by the way. You don't have to be registered at Sasol. Worked for 12 years. Became a senior engineer, designed everything. But I know that they respect the boiler making, because that one is dangerous, because if it explodes, then you must be registered. But all the other ones, chemical, civil and all that, we do it the internal. We've got our own standards. Actually, there's no benefit for you in the private sector to register with Psyche or EXA. There's none whatsoever. That's why we never even said that 3,500 used to pay that thing. Because there's no benefit. Yeah. So, private sector, they don't care. But now you can't. We thought that when we come to our black government, our black government will recognize black talent, because we're not stupid. If you go back and check what we got in our marks and all of that, see that these black, but we disappeared within the system because of the policies of this government. That systematically actually closed black people out, closed it completely, and others, they even committed suicide. Many engineers, we've got many engineers. And these things, yeah, and also, I'll go to my points very quickly. And the issue of mentoring, I can see that push and pull. You like these things of these strategies and getting all this PwC to do your strategy analysis, what's wrong. You come with push and pull, what. But you don't get into what's the problem. There are many black people that are skilled out there. You need to do a survey and check where are they. Yeah, there are many, so no, there's shortage of skill. What skill? Well, they were designed these things before. The DM. But the problem is that once you have your own company, there are these red tapes that are there that are keeping black people out. I mean, there's almost, how many black people in South Africa? We like got 70 or something percent compared to white people. There should be black people that are there. It's been 25 years down the line now. They say, hey, skills development, these things. What? We study, we get skills out there. But one thing that we saw back in the days that has been a problem is the mentoring system. You see those ones, they said to us, how can you train people who are going to be your competitor at the end? So that's why we had to grant to our government and say, hey, help us, because we cannot register these people here, because private sector is white owned. It's white. You know what? We are poor because we're black. If you know that analysis on Fanon, you must put politics into it and understand it, because we did not understand when we were there. But now when we put a tools of analysis, understanding what is going on in South Africa, that's when we realize. But even if you can get PhD, of which we are doing it now at UNISA, we've got master, we've got training degrees in engineering. It does not matter whether you're white or you are black. They just treat you the same. So there, it's so you don't even, that's why some of the problems, you don't see any black registered engineers. And it's because the allocation of mentors is not there. They will let you come into the office and you sit there and you don't get any project. And it's real. So, if we just putting around, listening to, get into the problem and try, we are telling you what is the issue now. Racism, race politics is there, whether you like it or not. Race politics is there, and Tina, we don't like to push around with the food, just deal with it straight. That's what actually is a problem with many black professionals. You can check it, investigate it, and all of that. You need to now to do an investigation, Uri. What happens to those black professionals that came out of UCT, Verts, everywhere? Where are they? How many that are graduating, ma'am? They were candidates. And you should be saying, a candidate from year one, year two, year three, year four, and follow that person. And say, what happened to him or her? You should be saying, what happened to that individual, that black person? Like that. Is Sasol? Is Sasol giving the necessary skills for that person to be registered? And if not, you intervene, because you're government. You're not a government of a public state. You're a government of private and public. Because these are your people. If I was Yumna DM, I would have been able to go to Sasol and check, are my people who voted for me, are they being trained here in this private sector? And check. That is a problem that you should have been having. In terms of that. So you need to check and track them and say, where are these people? Okay, but some of them, of course, you must say which ones that are not employed and which ones are employed. Because many black people, actually, the mentoring system and writing of those law books and all of that, that's where they catch you. You are alone there. And it was even bad in our time, because those people, they used to speak Afrikaans. You come from UCT with English speaking, and then they just start in meetings speaking in Afrikaans. Then you just blend out. Hence, you find us here. We are here now. They were made by those people there. So you ask to find out, where do we come from? We come from that system that actually facilitated many black people and professionals. And to find out, there's no other way, but we must actually now find an alternative where we're going to raise our issues. And maybe, hopefully, you'll understand in terms of the frustration. I don't want to go to a point where here we're going to be, you've heard DM, all these all these concerns which are genuine. You need to come up with a document that say, here's the problem, proposes a solution. Are we going to be able to change that PFME or something like that? And of course, there's a proposal to do away with the tendering system. We know that it's corrupt. It's corrupt to do, you know, like near to the core. I mean, to also saying that there are people who are, when you're costing a tender, and you find that that tender, I mean, if someone is under-costing, there are cases like that. People under-cost because they want to get the job. Now, when they get that job, they go and pay for all their debts that they made. And then they know that, no, I'm going to tell that I don't have any money anymore. Then they're going to be scrapped and all of that. Yeah, well, so that is a tactic that has been done. Well, so we know that. We can even go on and on and on in terms of what's happening. Now, my question is, I wanted to ask some specific questions and said, why is it difficult to hold people accountable based on the code of conduct? But I think there was something that you mentioned that is very difficult. So I can get an answer about that in terms of what is the issue. Then also, the private sector does not require to be registered with EXA. Are you aware of that? I mean, you guys like EXA. I know that in mechanical engineering, at least, there is an interest because you deal with boilers and pipes which are under pressure and steam. So if they explode, then there might be civilians which are going to get burned. So you need to cover yourself. So at least I think in the mechanical part, there is sort of the registration. But in engineering and the rest, because I know that if Sasol have got their own in-house accredited person, they can improve the architecture. They can approve the buildings, the civils, all those things. And then we got our own in-house person that does quantity surveying to check how many of those cements that you're having there. And yeah, so one does not need to register to have a professional indemnity. I tend to be corrected, but when I had a Smolanyana job, they said I must get a professional indemnity. I got one from Santam without being asked what's my number. So, do I really need it? No. I that's why I never registered. I've been practicing for 12 years. I never got any registration there. Private sector, yes, private sector refuses to allocate mentors. It's real. Look into that. So, okay, what are the timelines then for the implementation of the skills pipe? You've got a whole skills pipeline that you want to put there. But I wanted to check, you said you are going to do, but also, now you don't know when. What are your timelines of what are you going to do? Ne? Okay, the push and pull strategy, I didn't understand it. It's just, I don't know, I try to understand it. And then also I think that you should give us a breakdown with how many registered candidates that are coming from university or technicon. We probably need that breakdown as well. Use university, technicon, so that we can see if, you know, what is the movement there. And then what is the study of how many engineers that are unemployed? Yeah, so you need to do a study. How many of those engineers that are unemployed or unemployed in your field, so that you can have a very, you know, qualitative way you need to diagnose that, you know, but where is the problem, because you can hypothesize and say it starts from Madrid there, you know, you come with it and all those push pull, but you know, most of the students now, some of them they are at it is so-called model of schools. How many are they? And you know, so we need to do a proper diagnosis to go to what is the issue there. I think one of the last ones is, why was there the budget cut, as my colleague has asked. She asked for 150, for 5 million, you just gave her 200. She asked for 150, you gave her there. Yeah, but why? It has ever been given why? You know, someone tells you this is what we're going to do, A, B, C, and D. This is what we want to do. Instead of giving that person the right budget, that person is given less. Look, it's fine. We can, yes. So what we can do, Chen, I propose that because we want to be a people that, when I respect people when they come to a meeting and raise their issues. So is to say, these we capture in a report. These are the issues that have been raised, one, two, three, all of them. Maybe we must get a summary of the report from each and every concern. And say, are they within your jurisdiction, or are you able to sort the short-term solutions and the long-term solutions? Because we need to get that and track, because it will not be very nice for these esteemed guests here. They find hope in this committee that maybe they'll be heard, but maybe they were just wasting their time to an energy to, you know, just vent out. We will just actually have the feedback session that, yes, indeed, probably we cannot be able to change the PS, the triple PSMA, whatever you can call it, now, but this is what you can do. We don't have money, your money there. If it's 150, we'll try and see if we can do something, maybe increase it, and all those things. Can we look into their concerns and come back? Because it would be more of a respect for them, and also to have confidence that maybe we're not a bunch of lame politicians who don't know anything. At least we've got project management skills of being able to track the issues and intervene where we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. All protocol observed. Quite a number of the points that I was going to be raised have already been raised, but I would like to make one or two suggestions. My son is a doctor. Before he could enter his internship, it was mandatory that he be registered with the HPCSA, the Health Professions Council. I think that step number one, irrespective of which branch of the built environment you are studying, it must be part and parcel of your requirements in order to qualify that you become registered with the appropriate council. That way, we can't have this conversation again to say, but we have 9,764 and a half people and only three of them are registered. It must become part and parcel of your curriculum, because if you're not registered, you cannot graduate. End of. That is suggestion number one. Suggestion number two, again, to answer my colleague's question as to there's no benefit to actually being registered. If you make the fees attractive enough and the benefits associated with registration attractive enough, you won't have a situation where you have 9,325 and a half people but only three are registered. I work with the Operating Theatre Nursing Fraternity. Our registration fees per year are 300 Rand. You have to be registered. 300 Rand, whether you're in private or whether you're in state, is an affordable fee that makes it worthwhile, and the benefits are A, B, C, and D. And I think that needs to be incorporated. These are just my humble opinions. I just believe that you need to look at situations where registration is mandatory or you can't graduate, and fees are really reasonable with good benefits, which encourage more people to register than less people to register. In terms of the gentleman who spoke about quantity surveillance, I want to raise an issue with you that I have particularly been exposed to in Midrand, for example. In order for SOEs, and it's going into private as well, for a 30% buy-in or reinvestment in the society in which you are operating. In other words, we do it on a ward-based system. SMMEs have to register, and what you're finding because the requirements often are too high, because there hasn't been enough upskilling, you will find four people forming a JV. So the joint venture will register. Only two people within that joint venture actually know what the hell they're doing. So the JV in itself is doomed to failure before it starts. We have to create a mentorship system in the built environment that is such that it encourages the formation of joint ventures based on upskilled people, not based on people being able to tender for a job. I may be completely off the mark, but that is how I see it. I think we are creating a lot of our own problems because we're not regulating the upskilling in a manner that is appropriate and responsible. We have to create, if it doesn't exist, we have to create a situation that encourages it. I may be completely wrong, and you can all shoot me down in flames afterwards, but this is just what I see as being hooks that encourage people to register, hooks that encourage people to be upskilled, and hooks that encourage people who want to be in the environment to stay in the environment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Having listened to the whole presentation, I can only sum up that most of the things that have been raised here should find way in your strategic plan of how are you going to turn around the whole situation. But I know that your strategic plan may be having a way of being tabled before this committee so that you are able to enrich it. It's overwhelming to think of all the solutions, but I think having had all the councils, it must form part of your strategic plan so that we don't come next year and hear from you all these problems. Where there are gaps in your strategic plan, I think this committee will go back and check. For me, I don't see much of a problem about the policy, but it's how you interpret the policy. There always has been a way of, if you cannot go frontally to the police, you go around it, like ingane kwathi bebe intambo kwathiwa hambane xosha lento engalele ezinye zazibuka zithi ihaye ngangathi yabona le ukuthi angibele ngihambe ngaphansi kwayo. If you get what I mean, there is always a way around any police. Part of the things has been your set aside. It's about the willpower of the public sector. But I think DM, nothing stops the involvement or the engagement with the your counterpart. That will always, I know that there are incentives that goes to some of the private sector, but those companies that some of them have made commitments to the president, that must go with the mandatory section that says your package must include, for instance, I've seen there is a study that talks about how many engineers that we are producing as a country, 1.5 per annum, 1.5 million who graduate each year. 80 are unemployed, close to 45% can be made employable with the right intervention. That's the study that you see. I think we still have this engagement of this strategic document, so that we don't come, when you come to the meeting, we can always look at the gaps in a strategic plan that will encompass all the councils, so that the councils are not on their own, but they are in the CBE, because most of the areas and issues that are affecting them, they are more or less the same. They are just specific issues that one would like to just erase, or maybe there are things that are fundamental, like the how is the council gets established. That is the process that you needed to take us through. Ni aguma elections, how many times uniketwa ngobani, those are the things, because you know, we are a new committee. Remember that asange siye ku workshop ezothatha the 2 days ni sithatha through. So when you introduce yourself, I think it's only fair to say existence yethu is through this, the legislation, but this is how we were elected, because I am, there are contradictions in the mind to say you have I'm a African which showed the transformation as president, but what they produce or what they stand for is a contradiction to me. That is why I am saying one needs to understand all those things that I have. The data, my colleague has spoken to the data. I find it very difficult. I think maybe you need to have a research, whether it's based in the CBE, that will be your support. To say that you have AMA architects that have completed at the university, how many are they that are seated at home? Where are they? Because phela ngithi we are in charge. If you are in charge, you must know ukuthi naba abantu abangavotanga bakuleya province, what are their issues? We understand. You must be able to trace all these people, even to say baqede esikoleni na university producer more naba bagcwele la kumasipala. I don't know if that capacity mhlambe can be built within the CBE. You have the support of ama MECs in the provinces that can even assist you. You don't even have to go there to know ukuthi bangaka abaspread kumasipala, bangaka bakwini. Mhlambe ku private sector you may have a problem, but the public sector you may also be able to know ukuthi where are they. The issue of CETA, I should think that it's better if you have angizwanga ukuthi how many are abafunda iCETA here. Not even to say we Department of Higher Education, we have engaged them. This is the current status with them in terms of this CETA funding. Why are they not funding the others? And so forth. I am not sure about it. I wanted to check the issue of the planners, but the planners coupled with the environmentalists, because I've had the case where the planners cannot move without engaging the environmentalist. I don't know where we are, because the issue of the environmental assessment is also an issue in its own. The requirements, I've seen it, the requirements of the candidacy. Mhlambe, DM country, we look forward to say, even in your strategic plan, because you are partners with the department, you might not necessarily have the power to tell them what to do, but you can always propose, Guti, if there is a tender of 50 million, I'm making an example, about attaches 6 engineers, different categories, if you have electrical engineers. So, you know, at least you have 12, or 20 million, at least you have 12. But you have a monitor now. We ask Gutiba Pinjenga Manji project to pay Lille and what happened. Not necessarily Gutuguza Gufande, we see it, but it's part of the budget. That is part of the package that comes with a section as a corner. We look on channel, we specifications certain. President, who announced some billions, the infrastructure. Uma singa proposer uguti a certain amount may include the lava so that it forms a set aside of this category uguti. We will know uguti if we have said per project kuzongena date. I'm making an example. So you know by the end of the year if Lama project is a together, so you know which bangaki abangeni leda. But even though the issue of the work that is done or the job that is given to a private to these big companies or any small company, in the tender specification there should be a question that asks, are you presently doing any business with the private sector? So that you don't end up one contractor in a project that run a parallel. The other one, of course, is cheaper, but iyambophezela kwi subcontracting or whatever. With subcontracting, yakhe ikhona in this element. Because the subcontracting in most cases, they will just go with a small contractor, but they will not specify these professionals. Now, I show something a mandatory around it, but you cannot give someone, it's like a fiscal dumping if you give people the job, but you don't know where they are, what they do. Kungenza ukuthi lo muntu omnikeza this job, obviously, ama subcontractors akhe will all be white kwi private sector. Ngala uzophoxeka, but ngala compliance ayikho altogether. If we cannot get that in order to say unayo yini project eqhubekayo at this present moment, if iqhubeka qhubeka ngalapha ngoba nathi we want to push the agenda, here are the people that we need to empower this side. I don't know. I saw something about the complaints about what has happened in the interview. Some complaints what happened in their interview when they had failed ama candidates. I just want to know, how do you set up the panel interview? Who is there? And where are the most complaints from which council? So that at least we are able to understand. Issue here, renewal. I know that I stand for correction, but I remember that with doctors Bani license, and from time to time, by I renew.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same with the you renew and entonga sanga clients? I mean, you renew even when you have not practiced, you need to still get the job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you are expected to renew.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. That is why I am saying there needs to be a collaboration or a synergy between all of you to say, nah, babantu bathole umsebenzi, this is where the gap is. Department of Public Works, this is where we are standing at the moment. Now, abantu kufanele baringe, we have so much, but they did not get the job. But there is so much people who have got the job 4, 5 times, 6 times. There needs to be normality in this whole situation. Une contradiction here around the issue of you must get the job so that une experience in your nangit, so that you be candidate, because that's the path that you need to take. But at the same time, 40, Ngala, you are pressurized, Uguti. If you don't get the job, then you cannot be registered. I think we need to put our heads together on this one. How do we find the gap? Because it's actually an CITB. Because it did not get the job last year, or in the last 5 years. So it was a degrader because Ausango told him, is it your fault? It's not your fault. I think somewhere, whether we need to put a grant somewhere, and as Zani Kumaspan some years ago, he used to have Indobutinaba, Abanai Mali, Yoku renter these buildings, Abanayo, Imali, Kasha, these buildings, Kwakuba Kona, this group, and Sazumaka, indigent, but I know, Kwaku Kona section, Abanda City Laba, Zuba Legelela, Sibanet. But especially umuntu also you can enforce this thing umuntu osenga phakathi ngoba there are many. I mean, let's face it, bakhona abantu abaqashwe nje komasipala vele azange baregister ngoba nomasipala ngeke amqoshe amqoshele ukuthi manje akaregistile uzothi kade esebenzaphi uzomnikeza yena i-chance ukuthi akathole lo msebenzi but uma esesebenza ke ngoba siyamtrace siyamthola ukuthi useqashiwe kumasipala akaregisteke because something. Chairperson, kunale issue ye prior knowledge. Angazi ukuthi ingenaphi la ngiyayizwa ngibuye ngingayizwa. Mhlawumbe ke siyibuke nje ukuthi where does it feature yona. Mhlambe masikhuluma nga wonke lama issues. I-issue ye sitha, I don't know whether does it reside here or mhlambe kuyofanele ukuthi committee at some point ibihlale no higher education. Mhlambe sithole understanding yabo. I don't know. Angazi ukuthi where does this organization stand, Chairperson. Kune young youth, 6 South African youth water professionals conference ABC Durban on Monday. I think it pela on Friday. I don't know ukuthi council ikhona yini into yokuxhumana nayo because ibibhala ukuthi Water Institute of Southern Africa. One was very impressed to see these young people back with conference coming with their innovative ideas, but they participated and there were many women abanye present amaphepha. I was wondering in my mind ukuthi where is the council kulesa space? Ngizamile nje ukubheka kodwa ngibonile ukuthi there was umngeni and I did not hear anything about i-council. Bengithi mhlambe kuzoba ngcono ukuthi zonke lezi zinto put them together so that kungabi khona abanye bayale but you are in the same space sokusebenza. Chairperson, i-issue yamamentor, I'm not sure whether i-mentoring system yenu iyafana yini neyaka-agriculture. Mhlawumbe one may find time to check ukuthi nihlukaphi. Is there any way eningakwazi ukuthi nithathe i-model yaka-agriculture and use it? Because ka-agriculture angaze ngizwe ukuthi ama-mentor ayashoda. I don't know which mhlambe ikuphi one may have to do a research mhlambe later on or ningasiza nan CBE to tell us ukuthi niboneni ka agriculture is there any way eningenza ngayo mhlambe. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. The benefit of speaking last, majority of my issues have been raised. I just want to quickly run over a few things, Chair. The CBE mentioned that you need to partner with Department of Basic Education and Higher Education also. But do you have a relationship in place or some kind of memorandum of understanding or something in place? Or are you planning, and if you are still planning, can you speed up that process, please? Because there's a lot of things that needs to be engaged on in the terms of this forum. Because you need to look, especially in terms of proper preparation towards a job market, something like an outcome-based education system, or programs in place in the primary and secondary school to prepare our kids for future professions. But also the concerns that have been raised in terms of maths and science, all those things needs to be settled at that forum. But also in terms of CETA funding and everything there, all those things can be raised there. The issue of extra selection tests, it's also an issue that can be raised there. Then in terms of the transformation in Durban, I'm noting the fact that there's working groups that has been established, but I want to know if they have clear mandates, clear targets, and also timelines attached to that, and if we can have the relevant information. But also, Chair, I would advise that they partner also with DPSA, because clearly it shows that organograms in the different departments and SOEs, they are lacking in terms of making provision for certain professions. So if that arrangement can be done, then I'm sure that issue can be sorted out. Also, in terms of the competencies at procurement offices in the different departments, because I'm also recognizing that there's a lag there. Seeing that some people that's occupying certain positions, even so low as in municipalities, they are not, some of them are not competent to deal with the workload or deal effectively with what they mandate express them to do. So if that thing can be also spearheaded from that level. Then, Chairperson, I'm of the view that the Department of Public Works Deputy Minister, they are the mother body that should deal with these issues. And if we don't have the stats, or I don't have the stats in terms of where the department is currently standing in terms of employment equity compliance. Because I feel that you must lead by example. If you expect your entities, if you expect everyone below you to follow a suit, then you must set the example. So if we can have that privy to that information in terms of where you are currently standing, in terms of the candidates that you are employing, and also in terms of preparing them to become professionals. There's been several outcries in terms of amendment of legislation. And I believe in some instances we have a lack of legislation, but mostly in government all over we have beautiful legislations in place, but the problem is enforcement and monitoring the enforcement. So if we can have that recommendations in terms of those legislations, how best can we monitor the enforcement, okay, how best can we assist in terms of enforcement of those legislations. I'm sure that this, a lot of these problems will be remedied, including what is being done in government, in its entities, and also in terms of SOEs are posted. Thank you very much, Chair.
Sure.
Okay.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair, and greetings to everyone. We, one, welcomes the opportunity to participate in this discussion. We seated here, you could see the frustration from the bench opposite us. And what going to try, we're going to try and fiddle in between. But the problem, Chair, will be that probably we, because we are talking to ourselves, we are professionals. We must change from the arrangement of imbizo, where society comes and lament and lament and go. Move to a point where you empower us in writing to say, there is this legislation. By the way, our role can be advocacy for you to get tender. Particularly myself, I'm from the ANC. We have a resolution to do away with tender. Then, if we would be advocating for you to get tender, it will be against what the ANC have mandated us to come here to do. Seated here, we are meeting you because the department has a problem with skills, Deputy Minister. Every time we meet you, you raise your challenges of skills. That's why you can't mix cement. That is the summary of why we are here. The minister fails to mix cement because it does, the department does not mix cement because there's no skill to combine water in the cement. Then there are professionals yourself in this particular space. Our primary interest will be that you assist the country to build the necessary skills for us to build our country. The issue of you getting tender might be an enabler for us to get the necessary skills, Deputy Minister. Probably if they don't get this tender, they will not be, will not be able to get the necessary skills because these people won't be practicing. So we must not lose the primary focus. That is the skill. It's not the tender. The issue of tenders and business probably might reside somewhere. We'll discuss the issue of tenders because you are saying to us, if we don't get into the playing field, we will not be able to be professional. You are existing because of an Act number 43 of 2000, which is 18 years old today. Should the mandate and the output based on the outcome of the past 18 years be reviewed or not? Is the Act still relevant today or not? I think from our point of view, like I said, as it's about lawmaking, we'll appreciate that you come to us and say, you enacted this Act. This Act does not assist the transformation agenda as we want to transform the country. Yourself probably will need a multi-dimensional approach. What are we doing together with yourself to raise awareness such that those that are at school, when they study, they must understand? Because there's a difference between the fighter and the professional. I'm correct, fighter.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Yeah, it's not different.
I'm starting this debate deliberately. I'm told that a professional is a person who practices within certain ambits and limits. We know that, the honorable member was talking about the recognition of prayer learning and all that. We know that I might be highly experienced, but if I don't practice within a particular, if I don't belong to a particular body that governs my practice and say, this is where you play, these boys who play, who are dribbling wizards in the street, playing in the street, they don't become professionals because they play there. The referee determines as and when he's feeling for his feeling. But when you get into F&B, there's a referee who'll govern what you are doing there. So irrespective of how much you can have the knowledge in the street and you can be a dribbling wizard, if you are not in F&B, you're not the professional, if you are not regulated by that one with that whistle, who will be objective, you are not a professional. Now, as a villager from the village, when I go to the university, I study, I graduate, because of my circumstances, the first exit level, I go to work, I work and work and work. I'll never be a professional. And part of it is that I'm not exposed to the industry. So it's yourself. And it would be wrong for us to sit here. The president is black. I only see one white fellow here. And you come here and say, the industry is not transformed. What are you doing ourselves? With this act that is 18 years old, I want to believe that something should have been done. What has happened in the past 18 years with yourself, Mungami, who's, by the way, black, and only one white here? What have you been doing? If the approach is the lamenting one that we're having here, I can tell you, you spoke very well and we understand your frustration. If we're going to take this approach, Deputy Minister, we'll move out of here, we'll understand their lamentations, they'll come and bring another committee, brief another committee again. Bureaucracy says, you write, I write. Irrespective, fella, those that know better, they say, there is no wrong policy. There can only be wrong implementation. There can't be a wrong policy. As and when, I don't want to venture there, as and when you're taking us into the historical epoch of where we come from, you say there was this, there was this, there was this, and there are changes. It shows that probably when you're seated on this other side, you think, no, let's change this thing to this side. When you enter there, you realize that somebody can exploit that particular. So, one, without I went through the notes, Chair. I wrote a lot of things as per the presentation. But the summary of what, if one was to summarize what you're saying, if they're not going to write Deputy Minister in power up, we'll not be able to bring the necessary, will not be able to bring the necessary intervention. We'll just join the choir and cry with you that we're not getting jobs, we are not transforming the industry, there is less. There is a responsibility from government to give you jobs. There is a responsibility from yourself as a professional body to attract, to make awareness, whether you go to these universities, make awareness such that people know that I am a Bermuda if I graduate without registering with this particular council and become a professional. Ours, we can enact laws, Deputy Minister, but it will be difficult for us to get into the ground attract the necessary people to have interest. The fighter is saying there are those that do not have an interest on this registration. They don't care, by the way. Why they don't care is because what the market wants is not your certificate. They know that certification of people does not mean these people know what they must do. What they want when you arrive in the space, they want results. Now, is that a problem or that is not a problem? If it's a problem, you are correct to come to us and say, enact a law that will force those ones. But as and when you are busy enacting this law, it's yourself who's going to come and say, now we are forced to have this particular law that requires him to go and pay 3,000 rand. It does not have that 3,000 rand. It goes back to what I said. So I'm saying, Chair, we get the challenges. We get the challenges presented here, but if we're not going to write, most of the things that we're raising will fall on the cracks. The transformation of the construction sector, whether it's very little or slow or not effective, why? What program do we have that we can put here that seek to develop the sector? Because if we're going to be effective, we must say the department has this program towards responding to the first question I asked. Yourself, as a professional body, this is the program. Because we can't talk without attaching a person who is responsible to do to take a particular action. CBE needs to move up and gear from being a monitoring entity to an effective policy and lead role player in this space. The graduate development program should be based on a baseline information. I'm doing this deliberately because I guess I've tried to explain where I depart my thinking. And considering that some of my colleagues have already raised some of these things. Slide number 14 talks about the pipeline. To me, this is the major reason why we're here. But there is little information presented today. Probably in the future documentation, we should expand on that. Chair, I think so that I don't do repetition, and let me stop there. Thank you very much.
Just allow Honorable Shabalala just 1 second.
Oh, thanks. Well, I withdraw the research statistics, not for South Africa.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala.
You want it on the record?
Yes. Chairperson, CEO, DGG, President, and registrars of the council. Just a few comments from me, directed to the first to the DM and DDG. I think the public works and infrastructure has a serious role to play in this issue, which currently, to me, they're not doing enough to play that role. Why am I saying that? The majority of the budget of infrastructure of government construction is with public works, because infrastructure now is added to public works. We won't say it was there, it was there. As from next year, financial year, we'll be fully talking about public works and infrastructure. So that is why I'm saying that it is with you. So the bulk of the budget of e-construction that will be done in this country lies with you. So to me, as a department that has an entity which is built environment, you need to be the one who starts the transformation. I'm talking on the layman's point of view here. How one would be this issue of set aside, you must be practical in doing it. It has been there in the laws, but it is not implemented. So as the one that has this entity, the entity which with its council is here today raising their challenges, so that other departments would see on you implementing this. Set aside, use the set aside policy to have a budget set aside for transformation. I've read what Mr. Habangwana, I don't know whether I'm Habangwana, what he said in the transformation in Daba, that they are trying to advance the amendment of all these policies that impaired transformation. He has correctly put it when I read that statement, but is that actually happening, or was he saying that because he was at the transformation agenda? So it's then up to UDM and the minister to follow that up, to see whether what you said there is it actually happening. Remember, they are the one who plays oversight role to DG and the officials in the department. And then, you know, we play oversight in the department, including the minister and the deputy minister. So, the deputy minister, the onus is on you. The ball is in your court now. So, as this committee, we will check in over, are you really advancing that? And I think we'll have to be harsh, because we can't expect, if public works cannot do it, which department is going to do it if public works is not doing it? That one is directed to you. It is really sad that 25 years down the line, we're still speaking what the councils here are saying to us. We sometimes run away from the fact that we really, in 1994, obtained the freedom to vote. The economic freedom is still not with us, the majority of this country. I think that is why we came up, and in fact the president, in his SONA, the first one in the sixth administration, the first priority is economic transformation. So economic transformation has to be at the center of what is being done by the sixth administration. And us as the Ili solo cause, I don't know whether it's the correct word now, the ones who have to play oversight, we have to see that is achieved. We're going to follow up on the issues that have been raised here. Members, I think almost all of them, they have talked about, I'm being reminded here, our time is over. We have to follow up on this issue that the reality is that if we really want to see transformation, it's not going to start on top up there. This issue of starting at school, this issue of making that these degrees that these councils you have to have, must not be seen as the degrees of a certain kind of people in South Africa. The reality, you can go even on stairs, you'll find out number very few architects are blacks. Okay, in the engineering industry, many blacks are coming in. But also, you will find that the government is not subsidizing those that are doing those courses. That also has to change. For us to have many black architects, we need to subsidize them even at school. But this issue of having mandatory registration, I think now I'm begging the honorable members, including the professional there, who is with us. Now, Ochindileyo was Australian welcome. That it must be mandatory. You cannot practice. You cannot practice as a doctor if you are not registered. You cannot be a teacher if you are not registered. You cannot be a nurse if you are not registered. Why in this industry registration is not mandatory? I think we need to start there.
Yeah.
I think we need to start there. If it's a professional, then it must be mandatory. So that the council is supported. But also, if it is mandatory, then it will also be easy to enforce the laws, even in those white companies. They're not going to take someone here, or register Shileyo, or we candidate 11, actually for 10 years. That has to change. There must be stipulated times that if you are in the country, so if there are policies that say you can be in the country for 12 years, nothing is going to change. There must be clear policies that you are at the candidate level for 1 year.
Yep.
A, B, C, and D have to be done. And that must be incentivized. How, and maybe preference be given to black companies. True CETA grants and true all those things. So I think they are the ones who issue out stipends to those graduates that are under their mentorship. So if it can be done like that, I think we can see increase from candidates to registered. But this issue, I think I want to take it, I think someone raised it, that it must be mandatory.
Yeah.
But also, we must include all those built environmental professionals, not only these six. We have been told, Jane, but there are others that are left out. They must be part of this. But when we talk of including and being mandatory, we don't leave out. But also, there is another by competition. Yeah, there's also another article by it. They're saying that sometimes you don't want to allow, if someone is an architect, then being an engineer, you don't allow that. So we must also not close to allowing those. We must not close gate, doing gatekeeping, the language that we use in the political parties. We must not do that. But it is very amazing, if I can say it. You have here the states that say all these councils have the majority of black people. And here we have registers and presidents who are black. The majority is white. And that raises serious questions. We've been, okay, let me not say this, because it will be as if I am undermining you. I appreciate that you are here. I appreciate that you are enforcing transformation at that stage. But it must not be that you are only president and registered. That environment must change under your leadership. It hasn't before, because you were not there. You are part of it now, as the leaders of those councils. You must enforce the transformation. You must not allow questions that were raised by my sister there to be asked on the candidate. The questions must relate to what is happening in South Africa. I may know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa because I like to read, I like to research and do all those things. But I'm not in your environment. That young girl, Yena, has never heard, has never been to Italy, even like myself. But maybe Yena doesn't even like to read and all those things. So we must change, The questions that are asked, even in the candidates themselves, it's not us who's going to prepare those questions. It's you, because you're leaders in that environment. So those questions must be changed. The issue of mentorship, the issue of someone being taken to a company, but that person is going to stay there for 2 years, nothing done. I think as the leaders of the council, you must check on that. You must have ways of checking, Doba, is that done now? But I think what I can promise is that as the committee, we will make a follow-up on the department. Well, some of the issues that you have raised here, because some of them, I'm sorry that I've forgotten your name. Some of them are low-hanging fruits.
Yeah.
Some of them, they are there in the policies. Yes, policies need to be changed somewhere, but some are there in the policy, but they are not implemented. So our duty as the committee is to ensure, in Dover, are those things done? But one thing that Honorable Shabalala said, in one of the meetings that we had with you, is that also as this committee, we need to have a way of interacting with the Department of Higher Education, including basic education, so that we can raise some of the issues that you have raised here, we raised with them, so that some of the things are done. But now I'm shifting the ball from the council to you, Minister, NDM and DDG. In the, but some of the things are doable, but what are you doing? Are you also part of that team that takes white companies that have been there for 50 years
yeah.
when we have emerging companies
yeah.
that have been here for 10, 12, maximum 20? Are we also encouraging in the bar elitism, Malinga transform? So now I'm shifting the ball and bringing it to you. But I can also promise that those are some of the things that we have to check. Economic transformation and job creation. They've informed us in the bar when there was the rooster system done. They had so many employees. Because that has been changed, that means they had to dismiss other employees. We want job creation. So how do we ensure that the economy is transformed and jobs are created, especially in the built environment? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I think in the interest of time, I'm not going to be too long, but to first agree very much with the Chairperson's proposals, and some of the proposals coming from the Honourable Members. that's what we will definitely do in terms of going back and ensuring that we participate and support the professionals. I need to indicate, Chairperson, that we have begun with the engagement with the professional councils. For instance, we were part of the transformation agenda. It was not the first engagement with the councils. There were other engagements. For instance, we have what we call quarterly review meetings, where our DG met with the entities of the four public entities. And now we've got the deputy minister now chairing this quarterly review meetings with the public entities, and the deputy minister has really taken interest in engaging with the public entities, and we even requested now to further engage on these matters so that she can fully understand what are the challenges. We have also further engaged with the Competition Commission, especially on this issue of the ID OW, and the, you know, their reasons for rejecting the scope of work. They have shared with us and our Director General why they rejected. And the key concern there is that when they rejected the applications, they did not give us the full report. We only learned, let me say, the head of the Competition Commission who came to meet the Director General was also of the opinion that the full report was given in terms of why they rejected the applications for the IDO. But he emphasized on those reasons, anti-competitiveness, like the issues that you are raising, that sometimes one category is not allowed to participate in another category. He gave those things as some of the reasons. But we said that we'll engage further because we don't fully agree with some of their reasons. So there are those engagements, Chairperson. The other thing on the issue of, because I have written a lot in terms of the key concerns, but I'm not going to go through them. I think we will definitely provide a report in this regard. Mm. On the issue of the SATLAB, their request for funding, indeed, they did approach the department. But what the department has done, and I think we will further engage with them, was, remember, the professional councils are supposed to be self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. They are not like your public entities, your Schedule 3A public entities who are getting money from the fiscus. So meaning that if they require the department to assist, obviously there will be a motivation. But that motivation is not something the department must do alone. We must consult with the National Treasury. In terms of their ex, even their ex are saying that the department must consult with the National Treasury because Treasury will ask the first question, why are you giving that professional account? Because it's supposed to be sort of sustainable, because we are avoiding just throwing money into an organization. And I think maybe that was one of the concerns coming to say, we will give you this money and then you will be able to be self-sustainable. If after 3 years you are not self-sustainable, then it becomes a problem. But we will further engage because there's more information that we are now receiving. And again, we don't want SATLAB to fall or to collapse just because government does not want to assist. So the DM is available. We are preparing a meeting so that we can fully engage on support, supporting them, even financially. Last point is that we are busy with the strat plans for the sixth administration for the next 5 years. And one of the things we are doing is engaging with public entities and professional councils. And I think the point came from Honorable Chavala to say we need to include these things in our strat plans. And it is indeed our in fact, it's our resolve that they be part of our strat plans. They are actually being invited in our strat plans, all the professional councils, to contribute to the department's outcomes and the, you know, the general government seven priorities of government. So they are part of that process. We will make sure that these things are happening so that at least we're no longer talking challenges. The other problem is that we need other government departments to really help us. Because, for instance, the issue of transformation and the regulations, and you are correct that Mr. Khabangwane made this promise at the transformation in Dow. It was the frustration that came as a result of this legislation, the triple PFA regulations. But we need the input so that we can then communicate to National Treasury. Luckily, National Treasury, I understand that the DG of National Treasury has requested all the DGs at the foresight to say, give me inputs and let me know what are the things that are anti-transformation in these triple PFA regulations so that we can make the amendments. And those inputs were given, and then through the transformation in that, we got even more information. We are now sharing through our SCM that information with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. So we are hoping that those amendments will be done accordingly so that this does not become a problem. Because it was a big issue around subcontracting of the work. And to say that bids are no longer awarded because of the delays that are caused by a need to subcontract and a need to have agreements before you actually award. So there are delays there. We've got monies that are now not being spent because of that, but we are engaging on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. The
members of the council leadership that is here, the support team. Allow me, Chairperson, I will just deal with two issues. And I think I shall have dealt with everything on those two issues. Two issues. Firstly is that the legislation that was promulgated setting up the various bodies which are gathered here today, your CBE, its entities, and the other boards that we have or entities we have, just those pieces of legislation, the intention was to first regulate the built environment space, but most importantly, to transform it. Now, we have board members and executives, the president and the teams that they work with, who are here to raise issues of transformation. And when you listen and listen and listen, for me they go back to keep organizations that do not follow through within their mandate. Because if you are to transform the skills environment in a particular sector, which is the built environment in this case, yours is to first protect the professionals in that space. You do everything in your power to protect them. And in protecting them, you advocate for their interests. And advocacy means you move from organization to organization to ensure that that protection, that enhancement, and that mandate that you have is carried through. We are not going as a department to do what they are supposed to do and therefore that which means transform the built environment space. Their major weakness, insofar as I am concerned, is that each one of them is inward looking and is just protecting their turf. And if you are to be a transformation agent of note, you go out of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. you go out of the space, you interact, you champion your cause. You can't champion your cause when you are inward looking. Yes, you provide that space to look inward because it is also important to evaluate and assess yourself. But it is even more important, as I was listening to the challenges here, that they go out as the bodies. They find space to connect with each other as the bodies that work in that space. I have not heard here where they meet as the bodies and where they discuss these issues as the bodies. And how much, there's an issue about funding. How much do the professionals pay? What is this shortfall and what causes it? When you need more money, this is how much I can raise because of 1, 2, 3. I then fall short here, which is why I need this type of assistance. That kind of detail is nowhere here. Now, for us to sit here without that kind of information and say, commit the department that it will give, it will be a bit, I don't want to say irresponsible because that will sound like a very harsh word, but it will be not us providing leadership to the bodies. They must be able to motivate properly, and I do not believe
looking at how much the CBE, for example, has been allocated, which is their mother body, umbrella body. Looking at how much CBE has been allocated, I fail to understand why would it be an issue to fund the or to complement, because my view is these bodies collect their own allocation in terms of what their members pay. And therefore, what you would then be doing where there is a shortfall is to fill up that part. Now, if nobody wants to say, I have collected this much, if somebody doesn't say, how much have I collected, it becomes difficult to say, I'm just stopping up. This is why I'm saying we need to provide that leadership that says, put your books there. Let us understand what your challenge is, so that we are able to then say, how are you assisted? But my second point is, I had asked, I've had three or four meetings already with the entities, including CBE. I asked all of them to go back and say, given that now there's a clear mandate on infrastructure to be housed, to be part of the department, go back and look at yourselves and say, where are the it's afternoon now. Where are the gaps? Where are the loopholes? Where are our weaknesses? That when we relook how the organization must be structured, how the organization must be aligned, which are those areas that you would say this one and this one needs to be aligned? And I'm listening very carefully here today. None of the bodies, they want to remain the same, even though the structure of the department is now going to change and the mandate. But we want to remain, despite of all these problems, we want to remain as we are. Now, we really need to find and provide leadership in that space, and we will do that because that's within our mandate. It would be pleasing that the submissions that were made verbally be in a written form so that when we meet shortly, we are able to deal with them one by one. But just by mere looking at this one, you find short-term, medium, to long-term, but one major request, political support to advocate for procurement policy reviews. Now, you gave people an opportunity to go back and do this. They should have been able to say to us, here is the weakness in the policy. If this policy can be changed in this and this way, that would assist us. That then gives us the kind of direction in terms of saying, how do we then assist them? But I'm comfortable, Chairperson, to say, as part of the MTSF, Medium Term Strategic Framework,
sure,
the department has already written to Treasury, because Treasury was charged with coordinating inputs from various departments. We've already written to both M&E and Treasury to highlight the kind of policies that are a hindrance, because even though there is this side on the hindrance, there are other sides that the department also is feeling. When you say 30% procurement for women, how do you monitor that when you start in January to December awarding various tenders by various people? How do you monitor this 30%? You just say it, but mechanism to really be able to make sure that it does, you do meet, your procurement process does meet that requirement. They are not there in the current process of procurement, because you have bid this, bid that, bid this, bid that. Evaluation. Don't. By the time it gets to the end, you cannot tamper with the outcome. Now, how do you then ensure your 30% when you cannot tamper with the outcome? So those were the issues that we have raised with Treasury, to say we have policies that intentionally are good, but practically are not implementable. You can't monitor, and you can't keep your finger on the pulse. So it is a showcase that we have to review the PPPFA policy. There's no doubt in that, because in all, it's not only in the construction sector, in all sectors, where there is procurement, as long as we are using PPPFA, you cannot monitor. There's no method to monitor the realization of your set-asides until you do something with the policy and change it. So it is true, Honorable has nipped it in the bud, but in fact, that policy in its current shape is just tender open for all, full stop. Even though it is called preferential, there's nothing preferential about it. It's just in the name. And therefore the body of the policy must be dealt with. So for me, that follow-up meeting with the councils is priority number one, but also the fact that NAANI as members who have interest in ensuring that we change the economic landscape from what it is now to the desired the vision of the country, of sharing the wealth and ensuring that we empower those who were never empowered. For all of us to realize that we must temper with that policy. There's no two ways about it. Those are my 2 points, Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Masulele, extend a word of gratitude to DM, DDG, Chairperson, CEO, and the professionals in the form of president and.
Are you going to close now?
Yes, I have to look at the time. Oh. We're supposed to be out here at one, but I feel that a lot was not said. So, especially DDG, if you can assist us with some of the questions, I think you did indicate also, if you can assist us with a request of calls. Also, I think it has been said here, not by one, by several members, that the professional councils, including CPE, please write it down, indicate the gap in the policy, and then we'll take it from there. So some of your presentation, as you know, they have not been there. Much as we had the presentation, but a lot was said which was not in the presentation. So that lot that was said which was not in the presentation sometimes get lost. So it is good when you write things down. So we'd really appreciate that. Unola, you have email address, yet? You send it to her, then we'll share it as members. But okay, the responses are due on the 30th of October next week. Yeah, we have to do that. But also, please, in your presentation, be detailed. If we are talking about the engineering council, indicate chemical, mechanical, civil, race, gender. So, if you can also assist us with those finer words, it is also going to assist us in moving forward as the committee. Lastly, I think we must also hammer on this. Some of these policies, they're not so bad, but it is how they are implemented.
Yes,
we may be new, many of us, in Parliament, but some of us have been public reps before,
mm-hmm.
in Council. There is also an act there, the MFMA.
Mm-hmm.
This 30% is there, but that act states it clearly that a monthly report must be prepared by the accounting officer in the form of the municipal manager. So DM, I think we need to check that here in this space, DG, is he or she not supposed to give you monthly reports? Have we achieved 30% in this quarter, in this month, when we are awarded this? So that it is then clear whether has it been achieved or not. Because, as I'm saying, 30% is there, but it is not implemented. So when we're not checking that, or when there are no ways of monitoring that, we'll never see whether it is implemented or not implemented. Again, thank you, and also thank you for sharing with us our birthday. We are the twins of the portfolio committee, myself and Honorable Van Schalkwyk. We need to be treated well today.
You need to be treated well every day.
thank you so much. Travel safe, those going back to Pretoria and to the various corners of this country. We really appreciate your input today. Thank you, DM, again. You are always with us. We really appreciate that in giving direction. Thank you.